It's the story of an American held in a dark Venezuelan prison.
Then all of a sudden, they all kind of lined up. They pointed their guns at me. And this is the point where I thought, I'm going to die today.
I'm Becky Bruce. I spent a year working on Hope in Darkness, which now has more than 2 million downloads. Find it on KSLpodcast.com or wherever you listen to podcasts.
Utah's best athletes count on flexibility, speed, strength.
And the Jazz pick up their 22nd assist.
So they count on University of Utah Health.
Brielso Lake puts this game away.
And so can you. Leading doctors, a world-class environment, award-winning innovation, care to be great.
14 unanswered by the Utes.
University of Utah Health, caring for Utah's best and yours. Schedule your appointment now at uofuhealth.org/care to be great.
This is Unrivaled with Scott Mitchell and Alex Keery. With the access and insight on the teams you're passionate about.
I love it, baby.
This is 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
All right, everybody, welcome back. Unrivaled continues, 97.5 the KSL Sports Zone. Thanks for hanging out with us. So there are a couple things that are in there. The next hour, I want to throw something out there. There's all sorts of stuff. Anything that Donovan Mitchell does, everybody wants to speculate about, right? And so there are a couple things where anytime LeBron works out, there's a video of him working out, right? But he was working out in New York, and Donovan happened to be there. Everyone's like, oh, Donovan Mitchell training in New York City with LeBron. Obviously, there's something they're going to try to do here. Settle down, all right? Could you imagine if Donovan Mitchell ended up at the dadgum Lakers? I mean, just, like, throw everything away that had Mitchell written on it, right? That's when you burn a jersey. Go chase something with LeBron and that broken team in a Lakers jersey, that's the quickest way to your fandom hating you at some point. But all the different speculations as to where Donovan Mitchell could be heading, most of it begins with he had a sandwich with somebody, which I can't stand. And we'll get to that in a minute. I saw the picture of him and LeBron in New York, and I just can't stand. What about the other 9 guys standing around? Are they all going to suddenly be on the same team with LeBron because they're in the same workout room as he is? The same gym he is shooting, shooting hoop with him. Come on. Does it shock you that Donovan Mitchell is in New York City, Scott? The guy freaking is from, he's from New York. Oh, he's taking batting practice with the Mets.
Oh, he's from Connecticut.
Well, but I'm just saying. Oh, he's taking batting practice with the Mets. He's going to be a New York Met. It's like, obviously, the guy's dad works for the Mets, and that's where we're at. Why can't we just be like, I mean, every place you've ever gone during the offseason, Scott, people didn't go, oh, Scott Mitchell's going back to Utah to play. He's going to play back for the University of Utah again. Reports are that Scott Mitchell isn't going to be a Cincinnati Bengal next year because he was in Utah this offseason. It's like, come on, get out of here. I don't know. I just don't buy into all the – these guys all hang out. And if they're friends with people, I don't care. Hey, we're going to go out on the road, Scott, this week. Is there going to be some food that we're going to eat, too? Are you going to be a part of this?
This weekend?
R&R, but not this weekend, just this week. Oh. Thursday, I think.
Well, of course.
We're going to be at R&R Barbecue in Midvale. It's 7171 South Bingham Junction Boulevard. We're going to be there at 3 o'clock on Thursday, and we're going to vote for our favorite sauces, and you can, too, that are going to be available exclusively at the Days of 47. All right? So food prizes and more, R&R Barbecue in Midvale. That's where we're going to be on Thursday. Join us on Thursday. Scott, over the weekend, when I was looking at this, I was looking at all the different places BYU could end up and Utah could end up. I want to find a place where the two will end up meeting one another during the years that they're not playing each other or into the future, okay? The bowl games that BYU could play going forward just for this season – and you can go over to KSLSports.com because this is one of the things that Tom Holmoe brought up at BYU Football Media Day so heavily was this, you know, just like what the future is going to look like. And everybody wants to know what's the bowl situation for BYU this year. ESPN is going to be flexible, I think. I mean, and here's what Tom Holmo said. It's going to be open through the season. We'll have conversations with ESPN. They will give us feedback during the year. And we have to be ready to take on any bowl that they'll give us. And we hope that it's a great one. Now, obviously, a great bowl depends on how well they're going to do this season. If they're a 7-5 team, we'll see in the Hawaii Bowl. We'll see in the Gasparilla Bowl. We'll see in the fill-in-the-blank bowl, right? But here are the actual games that could be on the docket for BYU, and it doesn't look good. Unless you're winning 11 games, the options are pretty limited right now. So this is another reason you give a big, giant middle finger to Independence when you're done with it, okay? The New Mexico Bowl. What's sad about this is BYU's played in this bowl before. They played UTEP, I think, back in 2010 in the New Mexico Bowl. They won that one. Don't worry.
A stranger with a gun came upon two teens taking pictures under a rising full moon. But violence is only the beginning of this story.
Sometimes I thought, there are no miracles. Yeah, there are. And this is a big one.
I'm Amy Donaldson, and I've spent my career talking about how lives are undone by violence. The Letter is a podcast about how lives are remade. Follow The Letter at theletterpodcast.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Frisco Bowl. Okay. Don't do this, Jeremy. How dare you? The Myrtle Beach Bowl. Hey now.
Eh, not too bad.
it gets a meh out of Mitchell. What's going to get Scott out of bed for a bowl game?
Well,
none of these.
I have, you know, some of my
got some family over there.
My kids live back there. I'm actually going to Myrtle Beach here in a couple weeks.
Can I describe?
Do you want me to do some scouting?
Yeah, but can I tell you to be careful when you're
over
there?
I think Myrtle Beach is kind of weird. I think it's weird that there's a college there. I think it's weird that there's a bowl game there. Myrtle Beach is about as touristy and kind of tacky a place as you could possibly get.
Lots of golf courses.
There's also a lot of miniature golf courses.
So, okay, this is from over the weekend, by the way, in Myrtle Beach. For the first time in 2 years, they had a person dragged into a pond and eaten by an alligator.
It's true.
This weekend.
In not a very big pond either.
I know. What I hate about this is they go, it's the first fatal attack of a human in Myrtle Beach since 2021. I was like, oh, come on. That was last year. It's not like since 1974.
I think people don't realize that, like, this is South Carolina. I think people think of gators in Florida.
Yeah, that's it.
They don't think there are alligators actually
the most
other
alligators,
parts of the country.
Yes, the most alligators I've ever seen were in South Carolina. Hilton Head, South Carolina.
Yeah.
And they're on golf course, and they're like, there's Big Mike. You want to avoid him. And, okay, bottom line is Myrtle Beach.
So Myrtle Beach wouldn't be a good place.
Myrtle Beach Bowl.
For a bowl game.
Go to that one.
Yeah.
Boca Raton. That's in Florida. They played in that one before. The Hawaii
Bowl.
Not as
many alligators in Boca.
No. The Hawaii Bowl. This is one they've also
played. See, why does everyone poo-poo the Hawaii Bowl? Like, is it because it's Christmas Day?
I think it's either Christmas Eve or Christmas Day, typically.
Who cares? I mean, look,
you can do anything once, right?
You get to a point in your life where Christmas is a vacation. It's no longer the whatever.
No, Scott.
It's
no
like,
one,
man, let's go somewhere warm for Christmas.
No one is poo-pooing the Hawaii Bowl because of its location necessarily. I mean, the game is played. If it's played at the actual Aloha Stadium's garbage. So there's one thing there, but they don't use that anymore. I think it's been condemned. So. It's like your mom's trailer.
I played there in the 80s.
I know. So the problem is like if you're in the Hawaii Bowl, you play teams like Hawaii who were 6-7 last year and they were in the Hawaii Bowl. Losing season, they go to the Hawaii Bowl.
Well, aren't all Memphis of these bowl games kind of that?
Right. That's what I'm saying is that that's why the Hawaii Bowl is forgettable is because you typically get like a 6-6 team going there. And it's a 6-6 team not from a big conference either. You're playing a 6-6 team from a G5. That's what the Hawaii Bowl is. The Gasparilla Bowl, kind of same thing. Some ACC Notre Dame SEC tie-ins there to the Gasparilla Bowl, but most of the time it's an AAC team or some G5 team that you're going to play against. Here's the more important thing, okay? The Big 12, once BYU gets there, here are the tie-ins. Sugar Bowl, obviously. okay, with the SEC. So if you're a if you're a New Year's Six team, the Sugar Bowl is on the docket for you. Okay, if you're a BYU team going forward in the Big 12. Okay, the next one is the most interesting to me and you, Scott. You've been to this bowl. It's the Alamo Bowl down there in San Antonio.
Yes.
Not a great place. Speaking of touristy, hacky places.
I like San Antonio.
Stop it.
For the time you're there,
right.
It's fun.
As a native Texan, I'll say we don't like San Antonio. Right, Jer? San Antonio's kind of lame.
A bit overrated.
Yes. The Alamo Bowl, though, is a good bowl. And the Alamo Bowl is the one that you're going to be tied to the Pac-12 with. Count down the years to when BYU and Utah both. Now you got to be pretty dang good. This is the second Pac-12 bowl, right? Behind the Rose Bowl, or a college football playoff bowl. So
it's a nice consolation.
It's a good bowl.
Yeah, it's a good bowl game.
So the Alamo Bowl could be a place that BYU
they actually have good food in San Antonio.
It's Tex-Mex. That's what we call it.
No, I had other food that wasn't Tex-Mex. It's pretty good.
Well, so the Alamo Bowl is BYU fan and Utah fan. If you want to see this game being played at some point. That's where you're going to see it in the offseason. You could see BYU and Utah playing one another, and that's one of those that they will line up because they'll say, look, if we can get a built-in rivalry game on a bowl game, amazing. And I'm not just talking about
That's the thing, I think, when you look at bowl games in the future, that will draw heavy for selection. I mean, if you're the Alamo Bowl and you go, I can get BYU and Utah to play each other.
And that would mean they'd
whatever
have to
bowl game that is, that would be pretty
in the Alamo Bowl's case, that would mean they'd have to finish second in the Pac-12, at least. And then in BYU's case, they'd have to be finish second in the Big 12, which would not be that would be awesome too. That question is how far down the line?
There's well, a lot it's not have, always necessarily the second place team,
right? You get the college football playoff. There are,
well, there's not only the playoffs, but the bowls kind of have a little bit of discretion. The more important bowl
so
games.
Maybe they'll take that third
so they
place could, team.
If they thought there was a really good matchup and they had an ability to do it, they'll potentially do that.
Hey, can you play in the Holiday Bowl? Because we kind of want to get BYU and Utah in the Alamo Bowl.
Yeah, there may be some of that that goes on.
See, I like it.
I just think it would be fascinating to see these two teams play on a New Year's Day game. And the Cotton Bowl, like even this year, is potentially what now I don't think Utah could play in the Cotton Bowl.
Right. That's one that unless it's that might be a New Year's Six option that they could maybe try to figure out. But again, the bowl committee has to, each bowl has a board, right? And each bowl has to figure this out. And by the way, each one of these bowls has a person, has like a president or a commissioner of that bowl who makes a kajillion dollars every year. I mean, these guys are well paid to be that part of that Cheez-It Bowl.
To be a part of the bowl.
If you're an Alamo Bowl rep, you're making a ton of money.
I just have one question.
Yeah.
So BYU goes to the Big 12. Will they ever be able to play in the Rose Bowl? If it's a college football playoff. Hey,
there you go.
Yeah. I'll just tell you, it's a special game.
You couldn't wait to say that. When you saw this on the rundown, you couldn't freaking say
it. Changed
could be why you get there, because I just want to say something. What an amazing experience it was for us.
It was moving.
You saw Utah football come back on that plane, and they just looked different when they got off.
I got up early this morning. I was watching Pac-12, like, classic games.
Yeah.
And so they had Ohio State, USC, Rose Bowls. From like 1979,
sure.
1980. And just watching it was just like, because you have Dick Emberg. How about you have Dick Emberg, you have Merlin Olsen and O.J. Simpson.
Oh, my heavens.
Are the broadcast team. Here's some of the offensive guys for USC. Anthony Munoz, Keith Van Horn, Ray Foster. Ray Foster actually played with me in the NFL with Miami. Great offensive guard.
Keith Van Horn?
Yeah. Or... Yeah.
Wasn't he a Utah basketball player?
No,
Van Horn? There's another Keith Van Horn?
Who is it?
Did he have tall white socks too?
No, he was an offensive tackle. He's like played in the NFL forever. Right. I don't know if it's Keith. What is his name? Van Horn was his last name. And then on defense, you've got Ronnie Lott, Dennis Smith.
Yeah.
No, and here's your backfield. You ready for this?
Yeah, what? Who?
Marcus Allen is the fullback.
Oh, my heavens.
And the halfback is Charles White. So Marcus Allen is blocking for Charles.
For Charles White.
Charles White.
Oh, my goodness.
And you know who was good for Ohio State? Arch Schleister.
Like it was Keith Van Horn. Keith Van Horn.
I know.
Scott, I don't know if you got this. You got it right somehow. It is Keith Van Horn.
You guys are looking
now,
at me.
Now, the
like,
Van Horn is like spelled differently. It's like Horn with an E.
Right. Yeah.
Dude, I can only picture Keith Van Horn, the former Utah sharpshooter.
But I'm just like, that's when USC was so good, when they had just all those players.
They
like
have
that.
Era.
Just
they have
player a, after player. I mean, Ronnie Lott, Dennis Smith, and Marcus Allen, right, and Anthony Munoz on the same team.
Those are all Hall of Famers.
Some like of the greatest players like
in their positions ever.
Ever.
Yeah.
And Marcus Allen was playing fullback. Wow. And he wasn't very good either. He's a skinny dude.
He was just
He's
young.
Trying to block people. Yeah,
they knew he was good. They knew he'd be good. But they're like, right now you're not the guy, kid. Yeah.
Charles White.
We're going to need you to
Charles
block.
Well, Charles White won the
Heisman. I know.
Crazy.
All right. We'll take the break here. So, hey, BYU fan, mark it on the calendar at some point when you're in the Big 12. I'm praying for that day. I prayed for the Las Vegas Bowl to happen, and it did. And that turned out to be one of the worst games I've ever watched. Just in terms of watchability on games, it's a zero on a scale of 10.
When Utah and BYU played in the Las
Vegas
Bowl?
Yeah, when BYU was down 35-0 in the first 7 minutes. But the game ended up 35-28, but no one cared because the game was over in the first five minutes.
Yeah, but it was just
a terrible football game.
I'll give you that.
All right. We'll take the break here. We'll come back. More to go on the program when we continue. We have ourselves our own college football countdown. Utah, one of five teams on this list that you don't want to miss coming up here. And there are a lot of good teams on this list, and there's some that I totally disagree with. So we'll tell you what the list is, and we'll give you the nature of it, and we'll give you the countdown days to Utah and BYU and Utah State all kicking off their season. Stay with us. Unrivaled continues, 97.5 The KSL Sports Zone.
2 years ago, Americans watched in horror as a crisis unfolded at the Kabul airport.
She was tear-gassed and beaten.
Images of thousands desperate to escape Taliban oppression filled our news feeds. More than 80,000 Afghans made it to America. But the story didn't end there.
It was very cold. There was no power, no heat.
Who would help our newest neighbors? I'm Andrea Smartin. In Stranger Becomes Neighbor, you'll hear the stories of some remarkable refugees who left their homes and their dreams behind, only to start over from zero.
Their only possession was three blankets.
And you'll meet Americans who stepped up to help them.
You want me to come when you deliver your baby.
What can one person do in the face of an international disaster decades in the making? That's Stranger Becomes Neighbor. Find us at kslpodcast.com. Follow us on Apple Podcasts or anywhere else you listen.